Take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. As I mentioned, as I start a new year, I would like to direct your attention to what I feel is one of the most basic and powerful passages in Scripture on daily Christian living and daily Christian thinking. It might not be exactly what you would expect, and yet Philippians chapter 4 really does set the groundwork for much of how we stand firm. Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to focus mainly on verse 8, but I want to give you the context by reading verses 1 through 9. And as I look at the beginning of a new year, I see how much we need this passage of Scripture. And so Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and have received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." In 1939, John Crandon was a second-year surgical resident at Boston City Hospital, and he performed a very unusual medical study. It was a dangerous study because he made himself the object of this study. He decided that he wanted to find out what would happen in a person's body if they were deprived of a certain vitamin. And I'm not going to tell you what that vitamin is, but he decided to try himself out as the test patient. He ate a strict diet without this vitamin. For 3 months, everything went well. He just was functioning well, did his work, sleeping well, had energy. But after about 3 months, he began to notice that he started getting tired. And then he began to notice he wasn't interested in his work at all. He let his work slip. After about 4.5 months into his study, he noticed that his skin started feeling like sandpaper. His blood pressure changed dramatically, and at the six-month mark, his heart rate had reached 190 beats per minute, and he felt like he was going to die at any minute. He momentarily lost consciousness, collapsed, and then he noticed that a scar from 15 years earlier started to open up. That wound began to open up again. It was at that point, a little more than 6 months into the study, that he began taking daily IVs of this vitamin. And within 10 days of starting that vitamin, he was basically back to normal. What do you think the vitamin was? Vitamin C. He had scurvy. Vitamin C is such a simple thing, isn't it? It's not something, you can buy it anywhere you want, you can get it in fruit, and yet here he was basically starving his body of that nourishment. And as I thought of our passage this evening, Philippians chapter 4, I think of the fact that many problems in the Christian life come by ignoring some nourishment that we get here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and that is in how we think. We have to know how to think biblically, and we have to discipline our minds. And sometimes we find that we have weaknesses, vulnerabilities, and I'm going to talk about sins, temptations, because we've stopped taking the real vitamin of biblical thinking. So tonight I want to give you just two things, two main thoughts, two main points. I don't have a PowerPoint. I just want you to think through the text with me. First of all, I want you to notice that stable Christian living is the outflow of stable biblical thinking. Stable Christian living is the outflow of stable biblical thinking. We have to sometimes get tough with the way we think. And then we're going to get into what is biblical thinking. So first of all, stable Christian living is the outflow of stable biblical thinking. Why do I make that statement? Well, I want you to understand, I want you to give you full disclosure, I'm making an interpretational decision in the text, and I want to show it to you. So I want you to look at the passage. I want you to notice that in verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." He's saying, stand fast, stand firm. Now, in the New King James, it says, so stand fast. In other versions, it says, in this manner, stand fast, stand firm. So what he's going to tell us is how to stand firm. Now, there are a couple of things. This verse can look back and say, therefore, based on your heavenly citizenship, talked about at the end of chapter 3, this is how you stand firm. My understanding of the passage, though, stand fast, is looking forward so that everything that comes from verse 1 through verse 9 is a description of how to stand firm, okay? So understand, that's how I'm approaching the text tonight. And it's a command that we are to stand firm and to keep standing firm. Now, here are a couple of ways that he says, you want to stand firm in 2020? One of the ways is verses 2 and 3, live in harmony with other believers. That's huge. Sometimes it's hard to live in harmony with other believers. Anybody found that? Don't raise your hand, right? Sometimes it's hard. But you want to stand firm in the Christian life, you've got to live in harmony. You've got to learn to do that. It does not come naturally. Some people rub you the wrong way, but guess what? If they're in Christ, you have to learn to live in harmony. Then he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. You want joy? You want 2020 to be a year of griping or rejoicing? Rejoice in the Lord. There will always be things that you don't like and that I don't like about our lives. But rejoice, what, in everything in life? No, in the Lord. You always have the Lord. He's always the food for our rejoicing. Then in verse 6, instead of worrying, pray. That's how you stand firm. Don't worry, pray. When you find yourself worrying, which you will, pray. And then verse 6, be thankful. Then we go to where I want to focus on, verse 8. You want to stand firm? You'll need to direct your thoughts to Philippians 4:8 kind of thinking. And the word in verse 8 that we are to, at the end of verse 8, that we are to, the New King James says, meditate on these things. I like the way the New King James lays that out. Meditate, because it catches in the Greek that it is an imperative and it's a present tense, which means an ongoing habit. You know what you're going to have to do in 2020? If you want to stand firm, you're going to have to meditate on the things of Philippians 4:8. You're going to have to get tough with your thinking at times, and it's hard to direct our thoughts, isn't it? But here's the thing. If God makes a command like this, you can trust that he is giving you the power to do it. It's not your power, it's his power. But he wants us to develop a discipline. He wants us to do this and set our minds on this kind of thinking. So before we get into Philippians 4:8 kind of thinking, just remember this. Scripture places immense importance on the mind as the source for the actions that we take. An immense source. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has given us the power of a sound mind. Did you know the words thought, mind, and heart, and in Scripture, usually heart is another term for the mind, appear just under 1,000 times in the New King James. Just under 1,000 times. It's really important. Mind and thinking and calculating in our cerebral thinking is a huge part of Philippians. It's talking about the mind of Christ in Philippians. And listen to this passage. Romans 12:2. I'm just demonstrating how important the mind is in your thought life. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your what? Your mind. That's your thought life. You want yourself to be not conformed to this world. It's going to have to happen and begin in the renewing of your mind, transforming your mind. This is not Christian living 401. This is Christian living 101. This is the basic stuff. This is, most of us have walked with the Lord for many years, and this is everyday stuff. And usually when we fall and fail, it's because we failed in one of these fundamental areas. I don't care how professional the football player is, the basketball player, it really doesn't matter. If they don't stick with the fundamentals, if they try to transgress the fundamentals of the game, they're not going to win. They're going to mess up. And in the Christian life, God has given us the ability. He commands us to meditate on these kinds of things. And so, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Instead of setting our minds on things above where Christ is, we find ourselves crawling through the day, wondering what it's all about, wondering if we can really trust God, angry with people around us, thinking that God hasn't given us the strength. When he says, set your minds on things above. This is how you live through the day. This is how you handle the uncertainties. This is how you handle the false things that come your way. This is how you do this. When you come to your thoughts, you can try to ignore them. You can try to deny them. You can be obsessed with them, or you can redirect them. And that's what this passage is talking about. Redirect the way you think. Listen, there's not a person here that every minute of the day this has something to do with you. You know why? Because every minute of the day you're thinking about something. And so am I. You might not understand it and know it because subconsciously things are going on in our minds that we don't really realize. But we're all thinking about something. So what's inside of your minds these days? What are you believing to be true? What are you believing to be false? So our thinking is really our choice. What kinds of thoughts do you think? Are they godly thoughts? Are they ungodly thoughts? Fleshly lusts or fears or worries or conflicts or bitterness? I find it interesting to just listen even to what unbelievers say about the way we think. Even unbelievers get just a small glimpse of the mind, and they come at it from a whole different angle than I come at it. But listen to what journalist Kate Murphy with the New York Times said. She comments on how Americans just do not like to reflect and think alone. They just don't like to sit down and think. And she says, one of the reasons I think that's the case is because when we sit down to think, we tend to think on the negative things. Our minds go to the negative things. You see, biblical thinking, though, is centered on true things, godly things, things that build up, not things that tear down. So could it be that instead of dwelling on what's wrong in our lives, that God wants us to spend time, not alone, but time with him, in his word, not dwelling on what's wrong, but what is right with our God, what is true out of his word, what will totally transform the landscape of our minds? I find it interesting that comedian Louis C.K., who's been in the news in the last couple of years for some pretty dark things, but here's what he said. Sometimes when things clear away and you're not watching anything and you're in your car and you start going, oh no, here it comes, that I'm alone, and it starts to visit on you just this sadness. And that's why we text and drive. People are willing to risk taking a life and ruining their own because they don't want to be alone for a second because it's so hard. We just don't like to sit and think. I remember when I was in Bible college, it was the dean of women who looked at the students and said, you know what, you just need to learn to think. I thought that was good advice. Just learn to think. Learn to read a book. Better yet, learn to read the book. Memorize a passage of Scripture. Think about on the God that you serve. Set your mind on these things. Learn to think in a biblical way. That's how stable Christian living comes. So I'm finding this in verse 1. Paul says, so stand firm. Here's how you do it. And he comes down to verse 8 and he says, think on these things. Now, that's the first point I want you to see. Stable Christian living comes from stable Christian thinking. Now let me show you the second point, and that is this. Philippians 4:8 is a template for biblical thinking. It's a template for biblical thinking. Here's the great thing. I don't necessarily have to dream up what to think about. Isn't that nice? I don't have to sit there and go, so what am I going to think about today? I have a ready-made list right here in verse 8 and a Bible full of God's word, my Father's word, to meditate on, to think about when I am not thinking the right way. So we don't have to guess about it. Now, what I want you to see in verse 8 is that Paul gives You might call them eight filters for how we should think. And I want you to notice something that in verse 8, I actually think he's giving us six filters here. And that the last two, whatever things are, if there's any virtue and any praise, meditate on these things. I think those two, any virtue and any praise, are really sum up statements or sum up ways of thinking. So there are really probably only six filters here. I'm expanding it to include the last sum ups as two filters as well. So I'm putting eight filters as I look at this passage. And so structurally, he's given us true, noble, just, pure, lovely, things of good report. And then he gives us those last two as summaries. But let's go through each one of them. Filter number one, true thoughts. Filter number one, true thoughts. We go wrong in our thinking when we start to believe lies about God and about ourselves and about our world and about others and past, present, and future. And when we think false thoughts and false beliefs about the Bible and Scripture and teaching and the church, where do we get true thoughts anyway? Listen to John 16:13. It says that when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all what? Truth. So the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired Scripture, right? He is going to guide us into truth. How does he guide us into truth? He guides us into inspired Scripture. That is what you can depend on as being true. And so you set your thoughts on that. So whatever goals you have for this year, whatever resolutions you may or may not have, be sure to be in the Word. Be sure to be spending regular time feeding on the Word, feeding your mind and your heart and your life on God's Word. And that is how you get truth. You know, the world doesn't even believe that there's truth, many people. That's why they don't have hope. I looked up truth in Scripture and just a couple of things. Truth is what purifies and preserves you, John 17:17. Truth preserves your mind from being laid waste, depraved, destroyed entirely, and corrupted, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Truth is what keeps you from believing myths and fables, 2 Timothy 4:4. The truth sets us free, John 8:32. Truth is what restores your soul, Psalm 19, verse 7. Truth delivers us from a multitude of sins, James 5:19 through 20. This is just a snapshot of truth. Do you see how when you're thinking about truth, it purifies your mind, it scrubs your mind, it helps you to be having a healthy thought life. There are all kinds of things in this world that you can set your mind on, but above all, set it on the truth. Then he says, noble thoughts. Brethren, whatever is true, whatever things are noble. What does noble mean? Filter number two, noble thoughts. Noble thoughts are those things that inspire respect for people and worship for God and that rise above what is base in this culture. You ever noticed you go to work? You go to school, what do you get in your mind? A bunch of base junk, right? Bunch of talk and a bunch of stuff that you really didn't ask for. But that's not what noble thoughts are. And what we're saying is that you can't just shut yourself off from the base stuff in this world and just like turn a blind eye and escape it. We're not escapists. We're not ignorant as to what is in this world. The word for noble here is talking about things that are worthy of respect and dignity. It's not dirt. It's things that are worthy of awe and adoration. And it's obvious that in our world we have at times to think about things that are not noble because we see crime all around us. We see sin all around us. But the idea here is that the believer is not fixated on those dirty things. We're not being drawn into it. It's not coming out of our mouths. It's not just the way we think. It's not the set of our thinking, these innuendos and the filth of this world. We're not held captive by that. You know, a friend of mine, and this was a long time ago, and I'm trying to remember all of the details, but a friend of mine once had someone dump a bunch of pornographic magazines in his trash can. And so here's my believing friend, and there's a bunch of magazines that he's like, oh, what do I do with these? And I don't recall all of the details, but I do remember, he said, you know, he says, I don't have to look at those magazines, he says, because you don't have to open the trash can to know that there's trash in there, right? We're not dumb to what's in this world. You know, the world may think, well, you Christians just need to learn a few things. No, we really don't. We're not ignorant. We know. above all people, the depravity of the human heart. The point is, think about what's noble. The point is, we're saying we want to rise above that by the strength that the Spirit gives us and the Word of God arms us with. We want to rise above that to be people who are thinking on a higher level, to be people whose minds aren't so filled with that junk. And sometimes you have to shut off the media. And if I had my phone in my pocket, I'd hold it up and say, sometimes you got to shut that thing off too, right? We have to be bold enough to say that. Wherever you find it, we have to be thinking so that this God's word and what is noble is occupying our mind space. That's how you get into 2020 and you stand firm. But if your mind is on the drudge and all the junk, guess where you're going to go? Down into the drudge and the junk. Noble thoughts are those thoughts that give dignity and honor. Now, let's not just say that this applies only to sexual thoughts and dirty thoughts in that sense, impure thoughts. I've applied that to porn. But let's think about this in relationships. Not thinking ugly thoughts and base thoughts about other people. Instead of thinking about their inadequacies and their failings and their flaws and their limitations and their faults and what we don't like about them and the shortcomings and the things that they've done to us, think about things that give them dignity. They are made in the image of God, right? And so there is value there. And so we need to think those noble thoughts, especially about people in our families and in the church. Surely God's doing something good. So we think about those things. These are the noble thoughts. There are other noble thoughts to set our minds on as well. Think about what God has created. The created world is always food for beautiful, noble thoughts, what God has made. Filter number three, right or just thoughts. Think about whatever things are just or right. These are thoughts that are righteous, and right thoughts are those that conform to God's will. Things that are morally right, things that are morally fair. You know, it's also including the ability to discern between right and wrong. Our world has lost the ability to discern between right and wrong. People who are doing what is right are paraded out as the criminals today. Sometimes you stand up for righteousness, and how dare you do that? But above all people, shouldn't Christians be the ones who are a conscience to say, this is what's right, this is what's wrong, this is what God thinks? And our society gets so twisted on what justice really is, and we give more value to animals than to people, and we allow twisted crimes to rise, and we are to be salt and light to slow down the decay. We can't change everything. But we can be salt and light in our own little corner. So above all, we need to live in a society where we are thinking these thoughts of what is just and what is right and projecting those thoughts. Filter number four, pure thoughts. Whatever is pure. I don't think I really need to describe this from a sexual standpoint. I think you already get the point there. But I think what I need to describe is maybe purity here is not just talking in a sexual way. It's talking about just purity of motivation, purity of our sincerity, of what we stand for and who we are. It's a pure devotion to Christ. It's when you see this person, you know that you are talking to someone of unmixed motives, that when you talk to them, you are seeing a person who is sincerely the truth of what they say. Filter number five, lovely thoughts. Lovely means something that produces or brings out love for another person. Lovely thoughts, it's more than just beautiful thoughts, it's something that produces love for another person. Thoughts that inspire and promote love for others. So you can either think of your husband and your parents or someone else in your life and all the ways that they've hurt you and failed you and done you wrong and so on. You can bring all that up. You can dwell on that, or you can dwell on Philippians 4:8 type of thinking. You can actually change those relationships often, not always, by just thinking thoughts that promote love in your own heart and in the hearts of other people. If you want to focus on what is distasteful about another person, you can do that. but it's going to be a difficult road for you, and you're going to find yourself giving in to many temptations. You're going to find yourself tempted to be bitter and resentful, and the world goes dark when those are your kinds of thoughts. Filter number six, thoughts of good report. These are the things that are well spoken concerning of other people, where you are talking well about other people. The opposite of thoughts of a good report is gossip, digging up the dirt on somebody, talking about them behind their back. It might not sound super negative about what you're talking about or what you're thinking about, but really it's intended to make them look bad and maybe to make you feel better or look better in the eyes of other people. Thoughts of good report. It's so easy to fall into that, and the thing about it is it's so wicked. Relationships are destroyed through that kind of thinking and through that kind of talk. What if we decided to channel our thinking into this, or redirect our thinking, I should say, into Philippians 4:8? Filter number seven, and this is one of those summary statements, virtuous thoughts. These are commendable thoughts, excellent thoughts. If someone could read your thoughts up on a screen, wouldn't that be scary? I mean, that is the nightmare in our world today, because, I mean, I've been hearing that technology may come out that people can actually going to be reading each other's brain waves. I don't know if that'll happen, but I think I'm moving to an island if that happens, because I don't think any one of us, I mean, let's be honest, wants other people to know what we're thinking, right? But if we're setting our minds on these things, they are commendable thoughts. They are excellent thoughts. And we all have to do a thought reset at varying points during our days. Virtuous thoughts. And finally, filter number eight, praiseworthy thoughts. Spending time, yes, praising the Lord. But thoughts that people could say, that's good thinking. That's good. That's praiseworthy. And then it's also looking at others and saying, you know, look at what they've done. Look at what God's doing. So these thought filters, things on which we are to not just think once in a while, but meditate, things that really make up for a sound Christian mind, they make for sound doctrine, they make for sound living, a stable Christian life. So we're called to guard our minds, and this, Philippians 4:8, is something that Satan does not want you to do. He does not want you to do that. He does not want 2020 to look anything like Philippians 4:8 for you. Are you going to allow that? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's given you the power. What's your thought life like? What's going on in your mind? An unguarded mind is a ravaged mind. You understand that? An unguarded mind is a ravaged mind. Satan loves to come in. And somehow, I don't know how he does it, somehow appeals to our flesh, gets us off on false things. And if it isn't Satan, it's our own flesh anyway. Bitterness, anger, falsehoods. So don't leave your mind unguarded. So as I close tonight, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is for you believers tonight. If you're a believer in Christ, I have good news. You have the power by the Holy Spirit living within you to have this food for thought, Philippians 4:8. You can do this. Not on your own strength, but just trust God. He's given you the strength. Yes, you will fall into wrong thinking at times. And you know what? That's why we have a merciful Savior. Just step up. Think through these things. Good news. But the bad news is for those who are not genuinely converted. Those who just enjoy coming to church and that's just about all it is. And you don't know the power of God in your life. You don't know the life-changing, converting power of Christ to change you from your heart all the way out. Make you a new creation so that you think differently. You don't have that power. So if that's the case for you, if you look at yourself, you're ravaged by your thoughts, you have no strength over those thoughts, and you realize, I am not saved. Would you come to Christ tonight, receive him personally by faith, confess your sins before him, and accept the forgiveness that's found in him? Would you bow your heads? I am thankful for the simplicity and the practical the powerful instruction that we see here in Philippians chapter 4. Nothing new, pretty basic. And if you will set your mind on these things, you will stand firm. That's nice to know. Father, we come before you and we surrender our hearts and our minds and we give you our bodies, we give you everything that we are. At the beginning of this new year, may we be a people who put off old grudges old false things that we have been believing, that we would firmly hold to the truth. Father, we are so far away from this in some of our recesses in our minds. So help us to apply these filters. Father, I pray for those who may not know Christ tonight, that you would set them free through the blood of Christ tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.